Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again tonight on the Cosmic Connections. And yes, I am up and running on Facebook. I ended up hitting the wrong button instead of streaming. I hit record. I said, what's going on here? Why is it not coming up? So we got that fixed and everything is good there on Facebook. And everything seems to be going well. And with that, on this fine evening of August 10th, it's 8 o'clock here in my home in Texas, which means it's 6 p.m. on the West Coast, it's 9 p.m. on the East Coast, and wherever you may be in this big, wide, and wonderful world tonight, I want to welcome you to the program tonight. And it's been a couple of weeks since I've been on the program, but it's been more than that since this absolutely wonderful lady always joins. And Blanca, how are you doing on this fine evening?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Dave. Well, it's just a busy time, isn't it? And
yes,
so
is.
Much has happened since we last got together. So it's nice that we're going to get together and that the listeners will join us. And I think it's going to be a good program with folding everything that's going on right now. So here we are.
Oh, my gosh. The stuff that's going on. I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff that's going on there. We can talk about, you know, what happened at Trump and Mar-a-Lago and who knows what. But that's another whole issue with a whole nother discussion. But I think it's kind of par for the course of where we are, of what's happening in our world at this time. There's going to be things that are going to get, on one hand, they get crazy, they get stupid, but on the other hand, there's a reason for these things happening. And you know that one of the favorite shows that I always enjoy listening to is Barbara Marciniak as she channels the Palladians. And, you know, because she's great at what she does. She's been doing that for 33 years. She's, you know, served her season. She's gone through the test of time to see how, you know, authentic it is at what they say. And what they say, that all of this is taking place because it's helping to wake up the people who are still somewhat asleep. If we could talk about terms of, you know, the old Matrix movie, it's like it's taking the blue pill people, and turning them into red pill people is what it's doing. All this crazy stuff that's going on, and it's not over. It is going to get much, much more what I call out of whack, somewhat crazy, stupid stuff going on. And it's all designed to help wake people up to what's really, truly going on in our world. But that's all I have to say around that stuff. Blanca, what would you like to share with us tonight?
I totally agree with you. There's so many ways to look at this, but we said that, and you and I've talked about how this corrupt system has to go down. And the way it's going to go down is when we stop supporting it with our thoughts, mind, energy, all that. And when we look at what it really is, and we'll say that has nothing to do with the American people, has nothing to do with the English people at all. So it's a time when we're going to, I agree, see very, very weird things going on because it's the dismantling of that old matrix.
You know, when we saw yesterday when, you know, Trump's home there in Mar-a-Lago had been raided, and I mean, I found myself getting caught up into the drama. And then I caught myself and I said, wait a minute, you need to take your own advice. Let it be. Don't put any drama energy into something that is out there that you have no impact or control over because it begins to affect you. Stay on top of it, watch it, observe it, but don't be a participator in the drama of the event. Let the event be. Because here's what I always have to ask myself. When I wake up tomorrow morning, what difference is it going to make in my everyday life whether his home got raided or not? Nothing, unless I let it make a difference in my life. Our job is to stay on top of what is going on around us, to be creators in a very healthy way of what's happening in our world instead of being reflectors to what others are doing for us or around us. So it's always nice, you know, to stay on top of that. So anything else on that, Blanca?
No, I think it's a very good point, because ultimately this is, and we've talked about it, it's about our own state of mind, our own emotional state, right? And if indeed we want to create something different, well, we can't be on that drama frequency. That's not going to help. We're going to be part of the problem. So, yes, we have to be aware. We have to be alert, too, because if you don't know that this is a very, I would say it's a dangerous time, because it could flip in any direction. You can see that people are very willing to do some very, dramatic things and an actual assault. So we do have to constantly monitor our own state of mind, our own emotional state, because that's the battlefield, actually.
Yeah. Well, tonight, folks, I'm going to talk about, again, the currency exchange, and I'm just going to give a great general overview and description of the program, how it works, how it got started, where does this money come from, what is all this gold that backs it up, why is this taking place, and things like that. But I did see that, you know, there was a couple people on Facebook that basically wanted me to make a comment about, you know, the whole situation with Trump and his home there in Mar-a-Lago. First of all, I'll do that. And what I'm just going to tell you my opinion, okay? There are some things I don't know the facts on, and I want to be very careful that I'm not speaking from a factual perspective. But there's a couple things there. Remember, I spent over 20 years of my life in politics, so I understand the politics of what is going on here. And also, when I lived in Florida, I was only about 25 miles south of Mar-a-Lago. I mean, I could just hop in my car and go up and drive by it any time that I wanted to. So, but first of all, in my opinion, I think the FBI and the Department of Justice totally, totally screwed up by making a forced entry into his home when he was not there. Now, They're talking about these documents that he has and that he wants to get and stuff like that. And I was listening to some interviews, you know, last night. Here's what's important. We have to remember, back in January, the Department of Archives came to his home and went through his place. He gave them full permission. He gave them, says, go seek. If there's anything here that you feel that you need, that you're supposed to have and I'm not supposed to have, please, would you please take it? They took 15 boxes from his place back in January, and they didn't take this stuff. They didn't take it. And so that right there shows you that he was always willing. The second thing they said is that he has absolutely no idea what is in those boxes because he didn't pack them. It was his staff at the White House that packed up all the boxes and shipped it down there, and it's just been sitting in a storage facility place. But yet they go into his, and when this happened, it was his attorney she heard about it a couple hours afterwards. She had to go there. That at first they would not let her in. And then finally she said, wait a minute, you are here in a search warrant in my client's property. I have the constitutional right to come in and find out and ask, what are you doing? And that they were really kind of, you know, tough on her, but they let her in, and then she says, I want to see the search warrant. I want to see the search warrant. It is my constitutional right and duty to see the search warrant for my client, and they wouldn't show it to her. They wouldn't show her the search warrant until finally she said, do you know what the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution is? It's called unreasonable search and seizure. Without showing and displaying the search warrant to the attorney of the client whom you have gone into their house, you are totally directly violating the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, not a law. This is a constitutional violation. So what she said is they opened it up and they let her see it from 10 feet away, and she couldn't even read it. And then they sealed the search warrant so it can't be available to the public. Today, I saw that a federal judge ordered the search warrant to be unsealed. And so far, the Department of Justice and the FBI haven't made any comments whatsoever to the media about what they're doing here. So this is absolutely crazy. I did listen to a man who said he used to be the number three person in charge at the FBI. He was the number three person at the FBI. He was a career FBI person. They interviewed him, and he said this was absolutely crazy. This is totally unprecedented with what they're doing and how they're doing and how they're going about this. They could have asked and gotten a subpoena instead of a search warrant. And we absolutely know that President Trump has always cooperated in turning over anything that we have asked for. What his attorneys said, they didn't just simply go through stuff. They stayed at his residence and searched, and there were almost 30 agents there, and they searched his place upside and down for 10 hours. Now, again, this is totally, totally unprecedented, and it could have been done in a much simpler, easier way, but they did this against a former president of the United States. There's absolutely, in my estimation, there's no question there are people at the very top, i.e. Biden and the Democrats and the power structure that are trying to do everything they can to basically destroy Trump. Now, the search warrant, obviously, it came from the approval of the FBI, the director of the FBI. Maybe he didn't approve it. Maybe he was told he had to do it. We don't know. The attorney general obviously had to give approval to this. And obviously, you know that Biden probably had to know about something like this of this nature because it was going to be such a huge media issue as well. This basically, there is a phrase that was in the law saying that if Trump doesn't cooperate, blah, 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 that he could basically be, you know, he could be, have charges filed against him, and he couldn't run for office for 3 years. There's real question about how that would even be able to hold because it has to show that he had direct, complete intention to withhold the information or to withhold the things that they wanted, and he had no intention to do that. It's back to the fact he didn't even know what was in the boxes, okay? So we can go on and on here, but here's the issue. There's no question in my mind this is very, very politically oriented and directed to, again, smear Trump. Now, what does that do? In my opinion, I think this is going to totally backfire on the Democrats. I think this was so stupid for what they have done and how this is going to come about. In most campaigns, and especially we see this on a presidential election where the votes are always very close because we're also a very divided country, almost at 50-50, Republican versus Democrat. You always have about one-third of the people that are diehard Democrats, and they're going to vote Democrat, support Democrat no matter what. Then you also have about one-third of the people that are diehard Republicans, and they're going to vote Republican no matter what. And then you have that other third that are in the middle. They're independent, and they can go either way, and they look at facts, and they make their own decisions, and they don't look at what is so much the politics as much as the reality of what's taking place there. When they see events like this, it so turns them off. They see the politics that's involved. They see the gamesmanship that's involved. And that's what they can't stand. This is the type of event that drives the independents to go the other way of what's coming out here. Okay? So, now, I've just had somebody said that there's no sound. Angela, it's not on my end. It's on your end because everything here is fine. And everybody is commenting that it's just doing just fine. And I've already had many people say they can hear me just fine. So it is your issue on your end with your computer. It's not on my end if you are not hearing anything. I would check your volumes, check your tabs, etc. on Facebook and make sure that your Facebook, you know, volume is on. Because everybody else is saying the sound is fine. Okay? But that's it. That's my opinion on this thing. That's how I see it. I think it's going to backfire on the Democrats, and I'm trying to be very independent and nonpartisan in that statement. It's just because of the fact that, I mean, if it was Republicans doing it, then the independents would get pissed off at the Republicans and go to the Democrats because that's what they do. They look at stuff like this. They can't stand the gamesmanship, and they want to be fair, and they want to be open, and they're seeing how there has to be something going on behind the scenes because these people are so deliberate still on aggressively coming after Trump. Remember when he was in president, he twice had the Russia collusions after him, and that went on for over 2 years, Russia, 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 and it was all a false lie. Twice Nancy Pelosi tried to have him impeached when she knew there wasn't a heartbeat of a chance that that was going to happen in the Senate, but it's all a political setup, and they're trying to play on what they consider the stupidity and the ignorance of the voters. And I think what's happening is the voters are starting to rise up. They don't trust the media and the system anymore. Here's what's interesting. When polls are done about the institutions in America that are the least trusted, the lowest on the trust list is Congress. And you want to know who's next and just barely above them? Mainstream media. Mainstream media's trust is less than 30%. And who has the highest trust list of the major institutions in America? The military. The military's trust list is still over 70%. The mainstream media is around 30%, and Congress is around 25%. So it shows Congress and the media, the public doesn't trust them. And yet they play these games that it's so crazy. And to me, that's what drives people against them. It's going to be interesting to see the new polling that's going to come out with the voter mood and temperament after this fiasco stuff. In about another week, I'm going to be watching the polling to see if there's been a shift, a greater shift, back over to the Republican side. So, all right, that's all I got to say about that. So that's my opinion. That's what's happening on there. So Blanca, what kind of comments would you like to make on that?
No, I'm totally in agreement with your observation. It is unprecedented. You know, experts say, hey, if they really, really felt there was evidence there, they normally will appoint like a special counsel. They did it for Nixon. So sending, you know, someone like that, that's unprecedented. So even that, I agree, has woken Americans up. I think the latest poll I saw was very preliminary, 76% of Americans feel it's politically motivated. So
yeah,
to get over 50% means it's not just Republicans.
That's right. Yes. When you've got 76% saying they believe it's politically motivated, I tell you, that does not play well for the Democrats. So at all. Okay. Well, that's all I got for now around that stuff. Are we ready then to go in with what I'm going to do on the program tonight and talk about the currency exchange?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, well, let's do that. Well, folks, thank you again for being here, because the vast majority, the real intention behind your listening to all this is what got you into this, is what is called this currency exchange. And how is this happening, and why is it taking place, and what is going on here? It was about, let's see, this is 2022. It was about, 9 years ago. I had heard about this stuff going on with the Iraqi dinar, and some people, you know, in Sedona were sharing that with me, and I thought, this doesn't make sense. Where in the world is Iraq going to get scores of billions of dollars to pay for this? And then they started talking about what was called, the oil credit contracts. And I said, okay, well, that could make some sense. So I started looking into it, and I started doing my investigation, and I started watching the comments that were coming out on dinar recaps, primarily from this guy called TNT Tony. And he said that there was going to be an exchange. Now, if you have to understand the background and the history of which allows this to happen, it's very common that when a war takes place, what is called the dominant forces, i.e. those under the, you know, the alliance with the United Nations, they will take the currency of the opposing country and they will devalue it. When Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, Kuwait's currency was one of the most viable currencies in the world, and it was valued, I think it was at something like $3.45 for a Kuwaiti dinar against a U.S. $1. When Saddam Hussein went in and took over Kuwait, he raided their banks, and he was going to get all of this Kuwaiti dinar, And supposedly he was going to use all of that money to buy more armaments, tanks, missiles, etc., more firepower, you know, for this war that was going on, Iraq against, you know, Kuwait. Well, at that point in time, then the United Nations came in and they devalued the Kuwaiti dinar from 345 down to a nickel. And that's where it stayed. And remember, that short war was only a very short war. It was only about 4 to 5 months long. When it was over, and when they had kicked, you know, Iraq out of Kuwait, and Iraq, and I should say Kuwait, regained its sovereignty status to sovereign nation, they basically then put the Kuwaiti dinar back at its original value of 345. Well, there was word of this, that was going to happen, but to be able to take advantage of it, you had to know about it in advance. And obviously there was government insiders, military insiders, and others who knew about this, so that when it was at 5 cents, they went out and they literally bought millions and millions of Kuwaiti dinar. There were some military, regular enlisted military people that were stationed in Iraq and Kuwait. They heard about this, and then they went and bought some of that. So when it was revalued, when it went from a nickel back up to the 345, these guys became overnight millionaires. That was many years ago. I actually had a guy on my radio program. He said he was stationed in Kuwait, and he was able to take advantage of that. That's the background and the history about all this currency exchange stuff. So there's all kinds of stories going on that it's going to happen again, and that, you know, the Iraqi dinar is going to be revalued, and then also there's the Zimbabwe dollars and the Vietnamese dong. But I come back and I say, okay, when the United States took over Iraq, they completely redid their currencies. The old Iraqi dinar used to be on par value with the U.S. dollars. And then they went where they had this 25,000 Iraqi dinar note. And supposedly that the people are believing that a 25,000 note is going to get revalued at $3.40. If that's the case, then where in the world is Iraq getting the scores of billions, if not over $1 trillion, to pay for that? And do you think they're just going to give away $1 trillion out of the goodness of their heart to all of these people who have bought this dinar? No, that stuff is absolutely crazy, folks. But the rumor world just goes and goes and goes and goes. Now, but there is some other stuff that's going on behind the scenes. And folks, I've done my homework on this. I've been involved in this now for over 8 years. The last thing I wanted to do was be involved in something that wasn't going to be real, wasn't going to be reliable, and was only a bunch of stories and had absolutely no tangible evidence to back it up. But I stayed with this, and the longer I stayed with it, you know, going back, you know, to 8 years ago or so, I kept learning a lot about this. And I started then learning about what was going on with the Zimbabwe dollar, and also with what was, you know, not only the Iraqi dinar, but also what was, you know, the Vietnamese dong. And I started talking about this on my radio program that I started in October of 2013. And within about 3 or 4 months, I was talking about, I said the only place that I know that had the money that could pay for this type of a thing was with this group that I had become aware of called the Dragon Families that were based out of Hong Kong in China. Supposedly they had this unlimited amount of gold and massive wealth, and I thought, they're the only ones that have that kind of money. So the next thing you know, I'm talking about the Dragon Families. And after about 4 or 5 months, I get this email, and it said, you've been talking about this organization, this group called the Dragon Families, on your radio programs, and there's a man called the ambassador to the Red Dragon that's a part of the Dragon Families, and he would like to talk to you. I thought, huh, wow, okay. So we did some emails back and forth, and then we started conversing and having discussions back and forth on Skype. He lives in Europe, the ambassador. And we would talk two or three times a week, and he started saying, there is validity to what you're saying, but very, very, very few people know about it because it has never gone public. He says, I am a member of the Dragon family. I'm aware of who they are and what they have. And then he started going on and giving me the history and the background of the Dragon family, of who they are and where they have come from and why they have the wealth that they have and where this gold is. So we did this for a number of months. And then as this began to evolve, I was talking with him and I says, well, is it possible for me to go to Hong Kong and meet the man that you talk about that is known as the Red Dragon? He said, yes. So in December of 2014, I made my first trip to Hong Kong and I met with a man called the Red Dragon. He's a member of the Dragon family. He has the family number. He understands and knows who he is. He understands his position. He started verifying everything that I was saying. He said, yes, we are aware of what you have been saying. In fact, we've been listening to your radio programs. So we've done our background information research on you to make sure that you're legitimate and that you're, you know, that you can be trusted in what you're saying. And you're very close to being accurate in what you're saying. Yes, we do have this massive amount of gold that has been kept very quiet. It's never been released out into the public. And when we acquired this centuries, if not millennia ago, we have always been told that this is not ours. This belongs to humanity to be released at the right, appropriate time. Now, over the years, I've come to understand there's about 128 different clans of the dragon families. The vast majority of them are what are called benevolent. They're basically you would put into the white hat status. There's a small percentage of them that went black hat. Now, they're not all under the same control, and some of them are just like nothing more than distant cousins to each other, and they don't all have this money. But it's the leadership at the top, what is called the Council of Elders, that run and control this. The man I talked to is the Red Dragon. Yes, he has the ability to ask and request to have an appointment to go meet with the Council of Elders. And all I know is that they do meet in Hong Kong, and it's best that I don't say anything more about that. That's what kept me involved in working on this. And that's when I heard about the currency exchange. And I saw these three currencies, and this was what I called, this was legitimate, verifiable information that was coming from the Dragon families, that this money they had belongs to humanity and is to be released at the right appropriate time, and we are now at that season. Now, the background and the history, I'm only going to say this briefly because otherwise it would take me too long to go into all the details about this. This comes back to understanding the history of the ET race known as the Anunnaki. They came here thousands and thousands of years ago to Earth to mine the gold, to take the gold back home to their home planet that they needed there because their atmosphere was deteriorating. And there is an energy substance within the physics of gold that what it does is that when they would take this gold and they would grind it up into a very fine powder and they would throw it out into their atmosphere, that it basically causes a reflection of, you know, the different solar activity that is there, and it's like it puts a blanket over their planet and protects their planet. And so that's what they needed this for. When they were pretty much done with mining the gold, and this comes right out of the ancient Sumerian tablets, it says that they had heard what was called a decree, a command from what we would call source or God, saying that they were basically to take all of their leftover gold and give it to the dragon families. They were to create these royal bloodline families that would oversee and rule the humans until the right appointed time. That's who the dragon families are. They are the combinations of these royal bloodline families going back thousands of years. And my understanding was a lot of this gold that they had was leftover gold from the Anunnaki mining days. Now, that's another subject, because they are absolutely so far advanced in the ability to mine gold in contrast to what we do. Then this continued to progress and continue to go on. And I began to become acquainted with other people that are very deeply involved in this whole currency exchange process. And I continued to be to quietly, basically, to bring in people. And what I made a decision was I was only going to work what was called with the Vietnamese dong, because the Iraqi dinar and the Zimbabwe dollars are not what are called tradable currencies on the open foreign exchange market. So if I take the currencies in and receive it from people, if all of this was to fall apart, I could give it back to them and then they could take it to a bank and get their money back. Well, over a period of a number of years, I had collected a lot of dong. And also I became acquainted with this gentleman that I call the big broker, and that's all, I'm not going to give his name. And he was located at another city in Nevada, and he knew that I had made contact and had already sent some dong into this place called the Texas Processing Office. Now, it's also, it's understanding the history of who this is. I'm not going to go into the details about that. But they are the ones that process these currencies in conjunction with these funds that they have that are going to be released to humanity. And instead of just giving the money away, they do this as a currency exchange. So there is a legal process, a legal transaction that takes place, and it can't be taken to court and blown up because you just gave all this money away to whoever knows what. There's a reason why they are doing this. We are living in a world that we know is totally controlled by those we call the cabal. Others call them the Khazarian Mafia, and basically they are basically the black hats of this world. They have run and controlled the financial system of our world for hundreds of years. And they have deliberately always said that their group, they get the wealthy get wealthier while they keep the masses of humanity in the various forms of slavery. Look at the third world countries that have been in what are called financial slavery for literally hundreds and hundreds of years. And for us in America, we may think that we're not slaves, but oh yes, we are. We're slaves to our jobs. We can't do anything without having a job. If you're not independently wealthy, you're dependent upon your job. You're a slave to your job just to get by, to keep having a decent type of a living. You work your job for your 48 to 50 hours a week, and you get a few weeks of vacation, and you get your weekends off. But other than that, your life is your job. And that's what they wanted. And these jobs are created, in essence, for us to be slaves to enrich the cabal and make them become more wealthy. Their power and control system is starting to fall apart. Why? Because humanity, the everyday people like you and me, were waking up to the truth. The greatest gift to me that has come to us has been the advent of the internet. Because see, I can sit with the internet, I can sit here and I can talk to you, and there will be thousands of people that are going to listen to this program, and we're going to start learning the truth for ourselves. We're going to really understand what's going on, and we're going to be able to start waking up and creating the energy of our thoughts to make the system change. And that is what we are doing. So the cabal are falling apart. The cabal has quietly said their greatest fear is humanity waking up, and that's what we're doing. We're waking up to the truth. We're waking up to what's really going on. We're basically turning into the red pill world and learning the real truth of what's going on out there, and we're leaving the blue pill world. That's happening in masses with humanity. That is what the dragon families have been waiting for. When the dragon families have said, and I'm not going to say just, I'm now going to go back and I'm going to say those that are releasing the funds. they originally wanted to do this going all the way back to the Bretton Woods Agreement right around World War II. But they realized that the governments were too corrupt at the top, the banks were too corrupt at the top, and if they were to release trillions of dollars, they would only evolve to getting back into the hands of the cabal and make them all the more powerful and wealthy. So that wasn't going to work. Then they tried another effort with what was called President Sukarno of Indonesia and President Kennedy, and when they developed what was called the Green Hilton Memorial Agreement, and that fell apart. Kennedy was assassinated out of that. President Sukarno was placed under house arrest by his own military generals for the rest of his life. That fell apart. The fund releasers understood and knew that they had to wait until they had a system that was safe of how they could release these funds that would not empower those cabal people that are already the wealthy controllers of the world, but it would empower humanity, because this money belongs to humanity. It's humanity's funds. And what they realized is the cabal cannot stop 50, 80, 100 to 120,000 people being given millions of dollars each and told, go out and spend it. They can't stop that. That is what they cannot stop. And that is the primary reason for these funds being released in the method and the manner that it is being done. They are using scores, if not over 100,000, of everyday people like you and me, and they've developed this currency exchange to have a legal contract of how the money and the funds can be shifted. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I have never shared publicly before, but I'm willing to say it here on this program. When I went and visited with the Dragon families in Hong Kong, I've been there four times now to meet with them. They told me, they said, we did our background and research on you. We probably know more about you than you know about you. And he said, let's just say this. You are in the bloodline of the family. Now, we're not going to say you're a Dragon family member because you're not that high, but way, way down. But you are in our family's bloodline. We did our research. We researched your genealogy. We know your background. And so you're a part of this. So that's why we have invited you to come in and do what you were doing. And you can trust the fact that you have our protection in this process. Now, it was about 6 months ago, all of a sudden it dawned on me. I don't know anybody else that gets to openly talk about the currency exchange like I do on a radio program, but more so, totally, completely discuss it in my workshops. And I never deny anybody coming to the workshop. I should say there's been a couple of times I've had just a few, but that was an explicit reason for that. In essence, anybody who requests and signs to come up to my workshops, I allow them to come. And I share the history, the full background about why all this is going on. And now you're hearing about why it's me, is because I'm a part of the bigger picture. I'm a part of the process of these funds being released. And the reason is it's time for humanity to wake up, and part of that process is being set free from the thousands of years of the Khazarian mafia control over the human race. And it's happening, and it's going on. That's the reason why we get to do this. That's the reason why I get to be a part of this, and that's the reason why you can choose to come in and be a part of this exchange as well. I'm only going to say this once you're on the program. You want to be involved in round one. If you have not already submitted documents or you have not purchased currency or sent it to me, send me an email and I'll put you on a list. I cannot guarantee, but there's still a very good probability that anybody that wants to be in the round one of the exchange, you can be involved in this. I can't put this out in a newsletter because that goes out to 12,000 people and there's just too many to do that. But if you noticed, I waited until we were 40 minutes into the program before I said this. So the people who listen to this whole program, you now have an opportunity to be able to come into the exchange. Now, what's happening currently? We have always been told what I call the Texas Processing Office has the funds. It is my brokers who have seen the bank accounts online that have these funds. And they have said when they saw that bank account online, it had so many zeros in it, they couldn't even count it. The decision to release those funds is politically oriented because the kind of money that they are looking at releasing, and we're talking hundreds of billions of dollars, if not even more, it has a dramatic impact on global politics and global finances. So there's an appropriate timing about when this happens. And we're seeing the events beginning to unfold because we've been told the Khazarian Mafia, the cabal, the black hats, they need to be neutered. That doesn't mean they're going to be taken out. It just means that their power needs to be neutered. It needs to be reduced or taken away from them. And this kind of money being released is a part of what neuters their control over the world's money supply. A step-by-step process that's going to go on for some decades, folks. It's not just a one-shot deal. But those of us involved in the currency exchange, we are the ones that are getting to be the trailblazers, the first stages of these funds being released to help shift and change humanity. Now, that's the background. That's the history. That's the reason why. I've told you about where the gold that comes, that backups, that is the collateral behind the bank accounts that this is happening. There has to be a currency exchange. There are contracts that are involved in this. If you're reading Dinar Recaps and you're thinking that you're just going to get an 800 number and you're going to be able to go into a bank and exchange your currency, forget it, folks. That will never, never, never happen. I am in direct contact with the funders, and they have always said they will never, ever fund that type of a program. If all you got to do is get on a list and get an 800 number, and you can walk into the bank and you can walk out a multimillionaire, how many drug dealers, terrorists, and criminals are you now turning into multimillionaires? Folks, that will never happen that way. You've got to go through an exchange. You've got to submit some currency because it makes you put something on the line. You've got to go through a security clearance and a background check, and you've got to have contracts that you have signed, and all of this has to be validated by U.S. Treasury. I can tell you right now, the brokers and those that are releasing the funds, if they are not in contracts with U.S. Treasury, they will never be able to release a dime because they don't have the money to release it. This is all controlled by the White Hats, the alliance people that work in conjunction with the U.S. Treasury. This is overseen by White Hats within the government. So that's why it takes contracts, it takes agreements, it takes an exchange for you to be involved in the process. So I think that's about it, about all I want to do on sharing that tonight. If you've got some questions, this would probably be a good time for you to go ahead and get on the list to call in and ask your questions. That phone number is 515-605-9356. Again, 515-605-9356. And with that, Blanca, let's go back to you. And why don't you share your thoughts on what I've shared tonight.
Well, it's always nice to get that detailed explanation, and you did it pretty streamlined but hit the main points. It's always good to hear it and be reminded and to hear it in different contexts. The first time I heard your, you know, overview, you know, we hadn't had the president's house raided. You know, we hadn't had, the January 6th. False flag. We had a lot of that stuff, right? So with that backdrop, it really shows the intensity and the importance of this particular exchange going on and how meaningful it is and important. It's before we used to say, oh, we'll have this money. A lot of the people who are working with you are more, you know, spiritually oriented, charitable. They want to spend the money on the good for humanity, et cetera. But now more than ever, you can see as, you know, the economic situation is getting so difficult, more difficult than we've seen it, this plays out even more importantly. So it was kind of nice to hear the overview given backdrop.
Yeah, good. Okay. Well, are we ready to go to the callers?
I have a couple.
Yes. Well, this person with area code 419, I know you raised your hand right at the very beginning of the program, but we'll go ahead and go to you because you did raise your hand. Okay. So we're going to area code 419. Okay, you're on the air, and you need to hear your name on the background.
We'll go ahead and go to you because you did raise your hand. Okay, so we're going to area code 419.
Are you there, area code 419? Do you have a question?
We'll go ahead and go to you because you did raise your hand. Okay,
I don't know.
So we're going to...
I think they just probably accidentally pressed one on their touch-tone phone, didn't know why they were doing it, so... Because obviously there's no one responding there. Because, remember, they raised their hand within the first 3 minutes of the program. All right. Let's go to area code 321. There was someone there. Area code 321, you're on the air. What can we help you with?
Hey, thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. This is Thomas. I got a couple questions here and a good recap there. Appreciate that. And appreciate all you do here. And I've been with you for about 8 years, too. So,
from the beginning,
you mentioned, I may have missed a show or two, and I know back in the spring or May or so, you mentioned you thought you were getting paid maybe in June sometime. I was wondering, has that ever happened for you or?
No, it didn't.
Nope. Okay.
You know,
I know a few times. Mentioned on your emails, you had like some good news in Norway and some other references of good news, but I really haven't been able to catch anything. I mean, is there anything new with, I guess, in regards to, you know, the current state of affairs that
no.
so far?
there's
okay.
nothing new in the timing because what happens is, you know, we get some of those updates, but we have absolutely no guarantee about it. And sometimes there's stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't know, and that's what continues to delay those things. I do know we are told there's a step process and the funds being released, and it's what's called the very small brokers are going first, and I think they're doing that because they want to allow that to go out, test the system, and see where the attacks are going to come from. Because you have to remember, there's black hats out there, there's that do not want us doing this. They would love to shut this down if they could, because this is a direct threat to the Khazarian mafia power and control systems, and they would love to shut us down if they could. Yeah.
So, gotcha.
There is no new updates on the timing. Hold on just a second. There's a person on Facebook that said, what's the number? The number, if you want to call in, 515-605-9356. 515-605-9356. Okay. So anything else, Thomas?
No, that's it. Thanks for that, Dave. Appreciate it.
Okay. All righty. Thanks a lot. Have a good evening.
Yep.
Okay. We're going to give just a little bit more. I don't see anybody else on there. Do you?
No, I don't. Just that one that was on there from the beginning. It was an accident, obviously.
There's been a person that, said that they wanted me to give the number out, and I gave the number out. And, okay, here's somebody that came in. It's all ones, which means they're probably coming in through Skype, but it's listed as area code 111, so we'll still go to that person. Okay,
yeah,
we're coming up here. Okay, you're on the air. What can we help you with?
Yeah, Dave, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. What is your understanding of the the parameters with the Zim? How is that going to be used, the understanding you have?
It depends on what Zim. There is, right. Well, first of all, remember, you got to have a legitimate buyer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we just had a recent opportunity, and it was very, very, very limited to bring in some Zim notes. And I could not go public with that. I was not allowed to. But on the general scale, if you're holding Zim, you got to have a buyer. And I don't know anybody out there right now that is basically generally buying the Zim unless you have it in boxes, sealed boxes. There is what I am aware of, what is called the legitimate Zim buyer is based out of Miami. He's not buying any loose Zim, none at all. So if you've got Zim sitting in your home, it's whatever you want to do with it. But right now, it may be just nothing more but worth a bunch of wallpaper. So,
is it also your understanding that the Zim is to be directed for project use?
No. I've never heard anything that the funds are required for project use. That has never been told to me. There are tons and tons of stories and stories and stories out there, and these storytellers can never back up what they have to say as tangible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you think that the exchanges, will they be done at banks? I mean, I know I'm not talking about a lot of numbers.
No, I already talked about that. There's mm-hmm. no way in the world you're going to get an 800 number and be able to go into a bank and exchange.
Mm-hmm.
You open it up to funding criminals, drug dealers, and all that kind of stuff when you do that. These are private exchanges and contracts are involved. This will never be done publicly at a bank. Those are just empty storytellers that can never tell you where the money's coming from to pay what they talk about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let me make a comment. When I first started this, my name and my programs were appearing on Dinar Recaps. And I started politely saying, who's got the money? Where's the money coming from to pay for what you guys are talking about? It's going to take hundreds of billions, if not over $1 trillion, to pay for what you talk about. And they would never, ever answer that question. And this went on for about 4 months. And I would, again, politely just say, where's the money coming from? You guys aren't addressing that. You can't address who has the money to pay for this. And after about 6 months, they shut me off, and they have banned me. And for 7 years, they have never allowed my name to be placed on Dinar Recaps. I am completely banned from that site. And yet they are the ones that are saying, it's happening next week, it's happening next week. And they've been saying it every week for almost 8 years. What does that tell you?
Right. So is it your understanding that any of these funds have to be used for projects?
Not unless it's in your contract.
I see. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Thank you, Dave.
Okay. All righty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks a lot. All righty. Well, Blanca, I don't see anybody else. Do you?
Nope, I don't either.
Anything else? Any comments you would like to make before we finish up here tonight?
No, I think you did a very good job of covering. Of course, you laid a bombshell on us that we hadn't heard before, so that's that's interesting.
What was that?
Well, and you said that you hadn't shared it before, but that I just thought
why they're allowing me to do this.
Well, when you said that that you were in the bloodline,
I don't know anybody else that gets to talk about this openly on a radio program like I do. I don't know anybody in the world that does that. I don't know anybody in the world that gets to conduct the workshops like I do. Nobody. You would think there would be all kinds of people. I mean, there's people out there telling stories and doing stuff, but they're just storytellers. They can never back up what they say. But more than that, I always say, follow the money, follow the money, follow the money. They can never tell you who's got the trillion-plus dollars to pay for what they talk about because they have no idea. They're just storytellers.
That's very true. You've been consistent with, you know, what your aim was about the currency exchange. As your understanding of the situation, you would clarify. So it was, from my experience, I never felt that you were trying to make up stories or embellish things. If all of a sudden you got data that put a different light on the currency exchange or your understanding of it, you would share it. So it's been like a living process as your understanding and your contacts and your own verifications increase. But you've never done a whole 180 degree, I totally told you. So, no, it's been consistent. And additionally...
Which means it probably comes... Go ahead.
I think we're kind of the lapse is we're stepping on each other. I don't mean to do it on purpose. Sorry. But the other thing, your observation about you being able to do this for the many years that you've been doing it and having your workshops all over the nation and even the globe, and you've been be able to do so freely, to me, I always thought there was some sort of protection. Of course, you know, people will say the higher source and your creator, of course. But still, given the nature of what you're sharing, you would say, this is kind of interesting that he's able to do this for so many years in such an open fashion. So those things line up. It's just it's something you have to take note of. Yes.
Okay. Are we ready to call it an evening?
I think so.
I think so, too. Let's see if I can get the jingle to go here. There it is. Okay. Thanks, folks. See you next week. Okay. Bye-bye.